Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white ball is life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, how are you doing, my friend?
Not too bad. It's been a little windy, a little cold, Houston area, so I'm still not totally in golf mode yet, but things are going good. What's new with you?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, nothing too much, you know, rocking and rolling with class. And so we actually had a class discussion this week, not in about school itself, but during the breaks about it. What are the best U.S. Open venues? So the question was originally phrased, if you were on a 5-course rotation to host the U.S. Open, what courses would you choose? So that has inspired our top five this week. Shout out to you, Jairus, for coming up with that idea. Top five U.S. Open venues. There's been about 40-something courses that have posted the U.S. Open, so we're going to go through our top five list of U.S. Open, so preview of that to come, as well as talking about some Pebble Beach, probably some LIV Golf as well, first tournament with Jon Rahm in the news, so we got a lot to cover, but T-Bone, I'm doing good, man. Doing good, ready to get going.
Good. Yeah, I think we had a few technical difficulties, mostly myself to blame, but we've actually had a pretty good track record for our hunt. Actually, another question I have for you. How many episodes have we released at this point? Not to totally put you on the spot.
Say that one more time.
How many episodes have we released? Not to totally put you on the spot.
That is a good question. Let me see here. Pull that up. I'll let you vamp a little bit and while I look that up.
While Scotty T's looking that up, I think we've done pretty good of avoiding technical difficulties with our 130 plus episodes. Average score of some of our listeners out there, but I do also know we've had a few episodes that never made it to the air. Our first episode ever, but
Our first and second episode ever. Our first and second episode never made it to the air, probably for the best. Let's put it that way. Yep. Look, so according to it's a little weird. So like I switched our podcast hosting platform. We were with one group and they were fantastic. I actually really liked them. But when we took our little break, I was still paying them a monthly fee. And so I switched it actually over to Anchor, and that is hosted by, or it's like Spotify for podcasters now. So that's like our host platform. And so I'm pretty sure all the episodes made the transfer over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was kind of difficult. And I'm not as tech savvy. So that was difficult for me to do. But according to this, this is episode 137. So T-Bone, you were pretty much right. Well done.
Nice. I like that. That's pretty. I was shocked when we reached 100 probably a few years ago.
Yep.
I was like, wow, what the hell have we talked about? but yeah, a little bit slower pace now, which I think's fine. I think we're back on pace, got a good cadence going, and who knows? Maybe we'll get to 200.
I think we'll get the 200 as well. So yeah, you know, just a lot going on. Again, we took that little break for a little bit. So we appreciate the listenership sticking with us, and welcome to our new members here who download and listen to the podcast. Because I actually with Spotify for podcasters, the video form is able to be up on Spotify. So that's a pretty cool feature. So shout out to Spotify, as well as we upload those to the YouTube channel. So we appreciate the listenership on YouTube, and go subscribe to both of those platforms as well as Apple Podcasts. Actually, they announced this year that they're going to have transcripts added to Apple Podcasts now. So I think it's a good thing. The podcast game is getting really strong. More of these technology companies are investing into podcasts. And so we want to be on every platform that we can. And again, we thank you, the listenership, for listening, as well as because we're going to try to keep coming as much as we can.
Love it.
So with that being said, T-Bone, let's dive into it. Again, golf podcast, Pebble Beach this week, Pro-Am, a little bit different. I didn't realize that this was like the new schedule, new revamp format because, you know, you still see some of the amateurs being playing, but it wasn't as much of like your Bill Murray type guys or your Raymond, everybody loves Raymond out there playing. These were like good amateurs or famous athletes who are actually good at golf. And it was a Thursday, Friday thing. And then Saturday and supposed to be Sunday end up being just the golf, just at Pebble Beach.
I could be wrong here, which I probably should have done a little fact checking. I believe for the Pro-Am, I think the amateurs were like sponsor related. I think all of them had some relation to a sponsor or something along those lines. I know like the CEO of McDonald's played. Mm. I don't know how like Tom Brady played. I'm sure some company coughed up money for it. Not entirely sure about that, but I think that's why there weren't as many of the usual suspects like Bill Murray, Ray Romano. There's been like podcast people that started playing in it. I think it was a little more like buttoned up with people who were they were related to some corporation or the corporation was having a celebrity out there. So I think that's why it was a little more low key this year, which
it's a signature event, right? Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm okay with it. You got a few clips here and there of, you know, celebrities doing goofy shit from time to time. I think my all time favorite, amateur to see clips from was Chris Berman. See him, Boomer.
Mm. Yeah.
Boomer out there, just his Hawaiian shirt, straw hat, you know, just building sandcastles and just such a bad golfer. It was hilarious. I liked seeing him out there.
Another one was Bill Belichick, because he would play golf like maybe once a year, and it was at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Just, yeah, not a good player. Great football coach, obviously, but just not a golfer, not a golfer. And that's okay. But how about Tom Brady with the straight cold top? You look like you out there, T-Bone. Cold top, straight off the tee. Insert all the entourage gifts. What is this? Custom? Is this? Mine's off the rack. You know, it was an all-time moment. He was responding back on social media, getting into it a little bit, because that was so funny. Like, even the ghost struggles in golf. And he's a good player, too. So, yeah, that was really funny to see.
That was a classic pop. It was just spinning like crazy. That was awesome. I loved to see that.
It went about 5 feet, man. Like, that was a cold, cold top. Like, at least whenever you top it, it'll still go 100 yards. You know?
Yeah. I think mine was off the tee, but then like six times off the deck in my defense. So
Right. Shout out to Trey and Preston for witnessing that, and Kyle. That was awesome. But yeah, no, we've actually talked a little bit about this in the past, about this specific tournament, how it did need a little bit of a revamp, because Pebble Beach, the whole Monterey Peninsula, Spyglass, that's one of the most beautiful parts in the United States. It really is. They call Pebble Beach the greatest meeting of land and sea. Got Cypress Point out there too. Poppy Hills, Monterey Peninsula, the whole nine yards. And maybe this was it. I did miss seeing some of the Pro-Am people, but more for the clips, not as much me watching the tournament. Because that tournament is also in the past, and because of where it falls on the schedule, the week before Waste Management, which we'll probably get into here in a bit, it's the big names weren't going out there. Like Jordan Spieth was, because he's a big AT&T guy. But now, since it's a signature event, Xander is out there. Rory McIlroy was out there. A lot of big names are out there. And I think it was a good mix. If they could figure out maybe a different mix too, I don't know what the right answer is. But I think this was a good first step in trying to figure out and shake things up a little bit.
For sure. And we're talking about the amateurs briefly, but I think we've maybe talked about this in the past too. I think the Bill Murray bit's getting a little old. It almost felt like it was his tournament, and it was just too goofy for me. Too goofy. Like, I appreciate it, and it's kind of funny, but it's been like 20 years now of Bill Murray. So,
yeah, you kind of need that next generation, if you will, to come up and play in it. But a lot of these comedians aren't big golfers as much, at least to my knowledge. And so, yeah, and I think they really tried to hold on to that for as long as they could because of the origin of the tournament itself. Like, Bing Crosby was a big proponent of this golf tournament. It was called the Bing Crosby Clam Bake all those years. And so it's like they tried to hold on to it too long. And so really, because of the development of LIV, the PGA Tour has been forced to make a lot of changes this year, and this happened to be one of them. And it was kind of our first taste of what a new, different PGA Tour could look like in a post-LIV world.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was good. Thought it was a good tournament. The man, rain delays just ruin a golf tournament.
100%.
It's just every single time it happens, it's just such a bummer. Especially the Masters, which I feel like happens all the time now. But yeah, we saw the videos of Wednesday in the practice rounds. Yeah, Finau hitting the driver on an 80-yard par three, the seventh hole. And it looked like it calmed down after that. But once you saw the weather on Sunday and just literal waves crashing onto the 18th fairway, it was going to be tough. So I can't really remember the last time the PGA Tour called it a 54-hole tournament. But
yeah,
hey,
I don't
like
either.
LIV, trying to be like LIV.
Trying to be like LIV. And I mean, this gave LIV the prime time spot on Sunday now. No competition, 54 hole. So it'll be interesting to see. I haven't seen the numbers. They might have been released, but not that I've seen of what the viewership was like. Because you know, it's tough because of the TV contracts with LIV. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't watch LIV. Is it on YouTube still? Because I know
no,
they have
the
CW.
CW. Yeah, I don't know if it's on YouTube anymore. But
yeah, it's like a lot of their pregame stuff is, you know, pre-tournament, them hitting on the range still. But in terms of actual playing golf, I don't know if it's on LIV. Let me see if I can do a quick Google search here.
Yeah,
But
I actually have the CW. And I literally just was flipping through channels and kind of came across it and was it's still, even with Rom and the people they're getting now, I mean, it is. I saw a proposed Ryder Cup of PGA Tour versus LIV, and it is 100% even. This is, they have the players now. It is stacked. But
100% agree.
But still, I'm not trying to watch these dudes play. Not quite yet. I will be honest, I'm getting more interested, but it's still going to be hard for me to become a fan of LIV Golf. But I guess to their credit, it did seem like they finally got what they wanted. It was relatively like superstars that they paid for performing or competing for first place. Joaquin Niemann with a 59 ended up winning the tournament in a playoff. He had Rahm's team winning the team aspect of it. So that's what they wanted, and they're getting momentum. But I still watch more of the PGA Tour on Saturday than the LIV event. And
I don't think they're live streaming. It says they're live streaming the pre-show on LIV, but for some reason I can't go to their YouTube page. But I mean, it looks like they're doing a good job with their highlights, uploading those pretty quick. It's getting decent traction. But yeah, I mean, dude, you had low scores all the way across the board this week on LIV and the tour. Joaquin Niemann, as you mentioned, firing that 59. You had Wyndham Clark, who was on 59 watch at Pebble, and he shot 60, had a bogey, and left his eagle putt short. It was going right in the heart, dude. Going right in the heart.
I want to say he left it short on the last three holes. I mean,
think
he had a serious chance at it. And
yeah,
I was watching part of his front nine. It seemed like it was a tap in, or he just nailed a 20 footer.
Right.
But man, how great of a feeling would that be? You tap in for 60, and I don't know what they were expecting with the forecast, but just tapping in for a 60, you got to grind out a one or two shot lead the next day, and then next thing you know, you're crowned the champion of a $3.6 million first place check.
Yeah.
How great of a feeling is that?
That's a nice check, man. That's a nice check to come through. That's got to be a weird feeling too, to shoot 60 and feel like you left a couple shots out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, sure. That is absolutely wild. I will never have that feeling. at least in a full 18 hole round of golf, maybe on 9 holes, but not in the full 18 holes. Pretty remarkable stuff, man. Yeah, it's, you know, congrats to Wyndham. US Open champ gets an early win too. I mean, this is a kind of victory where you can be like, all right, this is, I think we're going to have a good little season here, kind of build upon that. And now he also, he owns the course record at the at Pebble Beach. How awesome is that?
Yeah, that's not a bad weekend. A few other things, it looked like Rory was pretty out of it. He actually got an interesting penalty called on him, I think on Thursday or Friday, and was pretty much out of it. I think another thing that's we're hopefully not talking about a lot, but it, I feel like it's what everyone talks about. But I watched a lot of Scotty on Saturday. I watched his front nine, and the guy is, I think he's still just, I don't know when they're going to go away, but it's just always kind of lingering, the putting with Scotty. He, I mean, he's always going to be near the leaderboard if he's playing okay, but I swear I'm just always watching him just miss putts, and he looks confused after, like it was a bad read or what. Yeah. But man, if that guy had mediocre to great putting, he'd be unstoppable. So I think it's something we got to monitor.
That's really interesting. I think you're right, because if he just is an average putter, he's winning. Oh, he's winning every other week. Such a good ball striker. Even though he was slipping and sliding everywhere on Saturday and whatnot, like I think it was on three, he like literally like tripped on his follow through and looked back at his caddy and started laughing. Like the guy's outrageous, but such a good ball striker. Now, I'm not going to put as much stock at Pebble in terms of putting, because those greens are so funky. Everything breaks towards the ocean. It's Poana grass too. He's a Bermuda guy, being from Dallas. So I know that's like very minutia, kind of nitpicky. So when it comes to playing on West Coast, and in particular at Pebble Beach, I'm not going to put as much stock in it. So we'll see how he does this week at the Waste Management, as well as the Florida Swing. And I think that'll be a good indicator. How he does on the Florida Swing will indicate how he performs the rest of the season.
Okay.
That's
we'll
my
monitor.
Analysis. What? Yeah. Because we're journalists now. Take that, Drew and Darren.
Yeah.
We are journalists. According to the Instagram poll a couple weeks ago, we are golf journalists.
That is true. That is true.
We'll see if we can actually get some media passes at the Houston Open, but we're working on it. We're working on it. No promises.
It's a work in progress.
But yeah. So, T-Bone, I don't think I have much else on Pebble if you want to move on to LIV. You know, as we mentioned, and I think you astutely brought up, LIV is the real deal now, in my opinion. LIV, they have the players. The players are playing some really good golf, too. I think that's a big thing, because a lot of those guys who came over early on, they weren't necessarily playing very well. Brooks Koepka comes to mind. He was shooting like, you know, mid-70s, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? And then he shaped up, won the PGA last year. But just looking at the leaderboard right here, you had a four-person playoff for the lead: Joaquin Neiman, Sergio Garcia, John Rahm, and I don't know who the other guy is. Dean Burmeister. Oh, gosh, I'm so bad. Anyway, but stop it. But then after that, you had Dustin Johnson, Charles Howell III, Brooks Koepka, Tyrrell Hatton, who just made that jump over to LIV last week, getting paid $50-plus million. Cam Smith, Louis Oosthuizen, and those were all your guys in the top 10. Like, those are some big names right there. You know, LIV is here. LIV is here this day. I don't know how I can watch it. That's my only beef with it right now. And, you know, they're a force to be reckoned with in terms of professional golf right now.
Yeah, it's I don't know if I'd praise them that much, but the thing
it is what it is, right?
Yeah. The thing that stood out to me was I saw that Ryder Cup side by side, and I was like, holy shit, this is pretty real. But I honestly just, I feel like we should know more about this or have a hypothesis of what's going to happen, but I still don't know what's going to happen with all this. And then an announcement last week that there's some new investors in the PGA Tour. Right. It's a lot of people from other sports, Arthur Blank from the Falcons, I think some people from the Red Sox, but it seems like there's some kind of movement to get, I don't know, maybe ideas from other sports leagues and teams to compete with this. Then there's also this merger that's going to happen also. So I feel like if anyone knows or thinks they know what's going to happen, they're just full of shit because this thing is so up in the air. But I kind of see this being like I think it's going to be years before it even happens, but I think there's a chance that you almost have a regular PGA Tour, like traditional events that we've always watched. We're going to have majors, and then actually, I don't think this will happen. This is what I would like to happen. I'm kind of coming up with this now, but you have your traditional events to kind of kick off the year. You have your majors, and everyone can plan them, and then that kind of end of the year FedEx Cup, where, you know, there is some interest, but there's an opportunity to do things different in that back half of the year. I think the August, November, even December, there's an opportunity to do something. Maybe you make that the team aspect. That's where you have maybe the live format. They play 54 holes. It's less golf. It's teams. It's more of a party and a good way to end the year. But again, I'm not smart enough to figure out how it's all going to work, how these two are going to come together and all that stuff. But if it was that easy, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, I think part of the reason why it's not that easy is because there's so much money involved. There's so much money involved on both sides of it. I mean, think about all those sponsors who pay the PGA Tour those millions of dollars. Are you going to pull the plug on their tournament? There are contract obligations. There's money involved. I mean, what are you going to tell FedEx, who is pumped? You know, the winner alone gets $10 plus million. So how much is the FedEx deal worth to the PGA Tour? Hundreds of millions. It's, yeah, that's why, look, there are people who are in position who are way smarter than us, who are way much more in the know to make those decisions. And I hope they come to the right decision, or at least like a decision that's good for the fans. That's what I'm really looking for at the end of the day. Like, and you can't, live is such a divisive subject to where you can't make all the fans of golf happy, but you got to do the best you can.
Yep.
And so, but going back to the broadcast real quick, blasting music the whole time. Do you see all those clips and whatnot that were coming around? I don't know how I feel about that. I get it to a certain extent, but like when it comes down on Sunday afternoon and John Rahm is fist bumping and I'm hearing Lil Wayne in the back of the broadcast or whatever, like, I don't know. It throws me off a little bit. But also, how about John Rahm just ripping F-bombs, letting them fly all over the place? Those clips were hilarious to me.
Yeah, I don't think those were hot mics. We had some hot mics over in Mayakoba. But I don't know what's going to happen, but it should be interesting.
So I did see an interesting quote. Let me see if I can find it really quick. So Joaquin Neiman said after he won this week, so four-person playoff, beats John Rahm in this playoff. John Rahm finished third, I believe, in that four-person playoff. Joaquin Neiman says, but I'm not in the majors. That's a really interesting thing because all those guys who defected over to LIV knew that they were not going to give official world golf ranking points. And the ruling came out late last year that they weren't qualified to get official world golf ranking points, which is such an interesting thing that the majors are going to have to work out. Joaquin Neiman is not in the top 50 in the world golf ranking points, and he has not won a major in the past. So he is not exempt. And at this point, he will not be in the Masters. That feels wrong for a guy who's that good and playing well. But it's one of the consequences of going over there at this point in time, at the point of this recording. So it's an interesting thing. I thought that was that, very
that is interesting, but I've kind of thought about it, and it seems like there haven't been a lot of guys that have been victims of the switch to live.
Not yet.
Like John Rahm's going to be fine. Brooks, Bryson, those are some of the big names that come to mind, and like they've just kind of gotten away with it because they've won majors.
Yep.
But it is kind of like, oh shit, there are really good golfers that are probably, I mean, Joaquin Niemann's definitely a top 50 player in the world. I would think. And yeah, he's got, there's nothing he can do about it. But like you said, I mean, they knew this. And yeah, just some of those bigger, more veteran guys have gotten away with it. And it's kind of nice to see someone get screwed. Personally, I like to see it a little bit.
Well, did you see what Wyndham Clark came out with too? He was one of those guys who was speculated and was being heavily courted to go over to LIV. And he said, I chose legacy over money, pretty much, of being exempt into it, you know, being a US Open champ, obviously wins this week at Pebble Beach. So I thought that was interesting. And yeah, to your point, Joaquin Niemann might be one of the first guys to really get the shaft in professional golf.
Yeah.
And more probably to follow. Like, I would assume Taylor Gooch would fall into that category.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's gotten pretty screwed.
Yeah, there's got to be a couple other who we can't think of off the top of our head here. But, I mean, that's just what it is at this point in time.
Yeah. Just some more speculation. I guess we could even call it golf gossip. Two WDs. Heading into the Waste Management this weekend.
Yep.
Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele.
Two big names.
Two very big names. I haven't looked into it much and as to why they're withdrawing. I know Victor has been a big proponent of not joining LIV, and I think he's kind of a grinder. I don't really see him making the switch. And I think he just had a really bad week and he's been playing kind of bad. I think Waste Management's not a good week to figure things out. Xander's a bit more up in the air. I guess we could even say sketchy, because he's never said, you know, I'm anti-Liv or I'm, you know. I mean, there was an interview last week that came out of him on Fourplay, and he was like, I don't know what I'm doing. It seemed like he is fairly loyal to the tour, but he was pretty upfront as in, like, I don't really know what I'm going to do. And thinking back to the Ryder Cup, how they're, you know, trying to get him and Cantlay allegedly trying to get paid for playing in the event, things like that. You never know. So just another couple things to monitor heading into this week.
Yeah, definitely some hot names. You know, I maybe some news. I did hear from some sources that Victor Hovland is being heavily recruited to LIV. Like, he is being heavily courted to go to LIV now. So I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but that's all I'm saying. Not revealing sources because we're journalists, right? But yeah, no, I did hear that Victor is being heavily recorded to LIV. But that can't be breaking news, man. Like, that's the speculation. Xander, Victor are the two guys that, and Cantlay are the three guys that LIV wants right now. And they haven't shut that door in terms of not going to LIV.
Yep.
So I don't know. That's really interesting. But yeah, I think that kind of transitions us pretty well, T-Bone, unless there's anything else you want to add to Waste Management. Waste Management, the People's Open, man. The People's Open. It's always electric. 16 is just an absolute zoo the entire time. And it's almost like, the way that I think about it, it's almost like in college when you lived in the dorms, people would do stuff in the dorms that were like nasty, gross, crazy stuff, dumb things to uphold the reputation of that dorm or just doing dumb shit. Right, like, especially
that's
to
a
the
great
33rd
comparison.
Yeah, and
that's a
the
great
way,
comparison.
Yeah, shout out to Penland third floor of Baylor. It was known for that, and we did some dumb things just to uphold that reputation. The waste management, I think, is the same way. People just act crazy. They do crazy stuff in order to uphold the reputation now at this point, in my opinion. But I'm here for it. There's no other tournament like it on the PGA Tour, and it is absolutely a zoo. It is electric. The atmosphere is great. T-Bone, I saw you out there a few years back, just totally randomly. That was awesome. We had a great time.
That was a great time. No, it's a wild atmosphere. Honestly, having been, it's too many people to go, at least on the weekends. If you do go, I would recommend Wednesday or Thursday, maybe Friday. But I went on a Saturday, and
dude, there's over 200,000 people.
Outrageous.
There.
It's outrageous. But yeah, like you said, with holding traditions of debauchery, if there's an ace, there's going to be beer showers on the green. That they're going to be just an overflow of beer cans thrown onto the green. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's going to be a streaker of some sort that runs on the 16 or 17.
Yep.
Guy last year had a mullet, and he made it all the way down to 17, jumped in the pond. So, yeah, I think things like that just happen there, and they just kind of expect it. When I was there, I actually saw a guy. He was missing a leg, and he took off his what's it called? Took off his, I guess,
prosthetic leg.
His prosthetic leg. That's the word I was looking for. And just jumped into the water and got arrested.
Wow.
And his friend was holding his leg for him. But I guess he won the bet. And just crazy, crazy stuff like that happens. So,
yeah,
it's a good time. I love watching. I honestly love watching this tournament. Just being the golf nerd that I am, I'm sure you do the same, Scotty T. Whenever I'm at like a Super Bowl party or watching the Super Bowl with people, I'm trying to watch the finish, and everyone else is trying to watch the pregame coverage like a normal person.
Yeah.
And I love this coming Sunday. It's a great build up to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's almost a holiday. I feel like the Super Bowl is a holiday, and I add the waste management to that holiday too. So I've got a lot of good memories, a lot of fun watching this tournament over the years.
I love that. I love that. It's so true. It's a tradition that it falls on Super Bowl Sunday. And, you know, the tournament has actually produced some great winners in the last decade or so. Here's a list of the few winners. Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka, Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, Gary Woodland, Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, all in the last 9 years. Like, those are some big names who have won that golf tournament. And then also throw in Phil Mickelson as one there too. So it's a great tournament. The course itself, I think, is fine. It's not like an overwhelming, picturesque golf course until you get the 16, 17, 18. 16, 17, 18 are 15's really
good too. I would say
the par five. Yeah.
I like 15, 16, 17, 18 is kind of,
it's a good tee shot.
It's kind of a tricky tee shot, but
those guys are so long, they can carry it over the bunker now anyway.
Yeah, it's nothing too crazy, but no, I agree. I feel like everyone goes and plays it and they're underwhelmed because they're not used to seeing just a normal golf course or used to seeing stands with people.
I'm not
crazy
seeing Tiger Woods' name as a winner here, actually, which is surprising because there's that amazing video of him getting the hole in one on 16 before all the grandstands. It was still just like, you know, shoulder to shoulder, probably 20 people deep throwing beer showers. Tiger doing the raise the roof.
Yeah.
Really kind of dates that video. But yeah, no, it's a good course. Really, the people's open and it delivers. It has delivered, and I think it will continue to deliver as well. So it's definitely one of those circle in the calendar tournaments of the year, and we're here. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And is it an elevated event again, or signature event, whatever the hell they're called?
I don't know.
In the past. It
right.
Was recently, but I don't know if they do those back to back.
It feels like every tournament now is a elevated event.
I think it is, and I do think it's kind of funny because I know Rory started playing it recently, and I just don't see that as his vibe, Waste Management. But
Yeah.
I think we're also dating ourselves a bit here. It is now the WM Open, not Waste Management.
That's right. Yeah, Waste Management is not the company name. It's called WM now. Because they're more than just managing waste. They are everything. So
they do other stuff. Yeah.
T-Bone, I think that's all I got in terms of golf this week. Is there any golf gossip or anything worth mentioning? I saw Pat Perez was in the news.
Again, his wife. The only golf gossip is, and I don't know if we covered it already. AK comeback?
Yes, great call. We have not touched on it. Please talk about that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. So, from the depths of hell, Anthony Kim is resurfacing his pro golf career. There's a lot of talks about LIV. There's a lot of talks about PGA Tour. And I think that LIV is tailor-made for Anthony Kim. And that is actually another thing that would get me interested in LIV. If I could see Anthony Kim again, play professional golf, that would move the needle for me. And for those of you that don't know, he's pretty much been out of professional golf since, you can fact check me on this, Scotty T, I want to say 2010. That might be generous. But there's a lot of rumors, allegations that he ended his career because he had an insurance policy that if he got hurt, he'd get paid it. If he got hurt, he'd get paid out a certain amount of money. And I think he had some wrist complications or back or something. And
basically a couple of injuries.
Just pulled the plug on his whole career and just went off the grid. No one's seen him or heard from him. And maybe a picture here and there has resurfaced over the last 13 years. But there's reports that he's trying to make a comeback. And a lot of people have asked, you know, what's going to be the issue with his insurance policy if he plays pro golf? Again, another reason why I think LIV would be perfect for him, because they'll say, let us know what we owe and we'll get you ready to tee it up in Dubai next week, buddy. So anyways, Anthony Kim was electric. He was the man, Ryder Cup hero. And I would be very excited to see him play golf again.
Yeah, so it has been 12 years since we have seen AK tee it up, which is absolutely insane. He was one of the rising stars. I mean, let's not forget that Ryder Cup when he just took Sergio Garcia to the cleaners, didn't even realize he won his match, walking to the next tee, and ended up being told that he won. It was pretty amazing. So the scoop is from Dan Rappaport at Barstool Sports 4Play. Word is spreading among LIV players that Anthony Kim will make his LIV debut in Saudi Arabia March 1st through March 3rd. Wow. I mean, you want to talk about bringing some viewership, or at least converting golf fans to LIV? Holy cow. That guy will bring some eyeballs.
That'll move the needle. That is exactly what they needed. Man, that got me fired up.
I mean, this guy was one of the best rising stars. He's a Houston Open winner, too, I might add. Shell Houston Open winner. Shout out to AK, dude. But, yeah, man, he was absolutely electric. Just a pure golf swing. Game was unbelievable. A shorter guy, but just generated so much speed and power and was so much fun to watch. That if he comes back, dude, I'm going to be tuning in. Like, I don't care that I don't have the CW. I'm going to go somewhere where I can watch it, and I'm going to love it.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
No, that's a great golf gossip. I'm really glad you remembered to bring that up. I would be remiss if we went this whole episode without bringing that up. That is a big story in the world of golf. Stay tuned. Let's see in 4 weeks if AK makes his LIV golf debut.
Yep. I'm excited about that. Very excited about that. And then I think before we get into the top five, I do think we need to give a shout out and even dedicate the episode to Mr. Carl Weathers, RIP Carl Weathers, aka Chubbs Peterson, an all-time great, an absolute iconic classic character in one of the best golf movies of all time. Also, if you're a Rocky fan out there, Apollo Creed is the man. So had to give a shout out to Carl Weathers today.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Rest in peace, Carl Weathers. It's all in the hips. It's all in the hips. I mean, yeah, we got to watch Happy Gilmore tonight now. It's got to happen. It's a great movie, great actor. We're sad to see him go. So, yep. And yes, I did watch some of the training videos with him and Rocky on Twitter whenever he passed away. You know, all the clips going around Carl Weathers. Mm-hmm. So, yes, sir. Thank you. Chubbs got his hand back.
Love it.
Yes, sir. All right. So let's do our top five. I teased it at the beginning of the episode, but our top five is going to be the top five U.S. Open venues. Top five U.S. Open venues. So originally started as if you had five courses to choose on a rotation for the U.S. Open, which five courses would you choose? And so in our typical top five fashion, we're going to do a snake draft. So if I take one off the board, T-Bone can't choose it anymore. So whether or not my true top five and his true top five is probably going to be some sort of combination between those courses that we're going to choose. But that's how we're doing this top five, our snake draft. So I think this is a pretty good start. I'm surprised we didn't do this earlier because there have been 49 courses that have hosted the U.S. Open. And so we are going to choose our top five. And I'm really excited about this one.
I am too. And to confirm, snake draft is in, you'll go
back and forth.
Normal back and forth. Okay.
Yeah, back and forth. Yeah, snake draft. You're not going back to back here.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
What's the...
What are we going to do this? Do you want to flip a coin?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a coaster here. Golf coaster. This is going to be heads. Oh,
worked out perfectly.
The blank is going to be tails. T-Bone, are you heads or tails?
I'll go heads.
Oh, I dropped it. Hold on. I'm trying not to look. Heads. All right. T-Bone, you're up first.
I appreciate your honesty. Golf's a game of integrity. Yeah. Appreciate
that's
that.
That's right. All right. Maybe they'll make the clips. I don't know. The cool. T-Bone, first overall pick, U.S. Open venue, who you got?
So, number one pick right out the gates, I'm going Torrey Pines. I think this course has the Tiger effect for me. It's one of the most memorable golf memories. I have Tiger drain the putt on 18 at Torrey Pines. I think it's a great finishing hole. We've both played it. There's some sentimental value there. And I think I got to take it number one overall.
I'm shocked that you chose Torrey Pines as number one overall. I'm not going to lie here. That really threw me for a loop. Torrey Pines has only hosted the U.S. Open one time. Now, that might have been like the all-time U.S.
Wait,
Open.
That's not true.
Torrey Pines South Course that I'm seeing right here, 2008.
And 21. John Rahm.
Oh, you're right. Dadgum. When was this article? Come on, Golf Week. When was this article? Oh, this article was posted in 2018. Well, that's not updated. Okay, you're right.
So maybe only two times. So I probably could have gotten a little more value at that in the third or fourth round, but we're going to roll with it. It's a sentimental pick for me.
Okay. No,
Torrey Pines at one.
Okay. Maybe let me update my Google search here real quick while I'm doing this. So, 2018. Come on. We got to get an update on that. So, my first one off the board is going to be, let me scroll down here, scroll back up. I'm going to go Shinnecock. I'm going to go Shinnecock Hills, my first overall pick. I mean, what can you say? It's one of those courses where I feel like not many people know it unless it comes U.S. Open time, but everybody knows that that course is U.S. Open ready all year round. Doesn't matter what time of year and what condition or whatnot, they always keep that course U.S. Open ready. It is in Shinnecock Hills, New York, one of the best, toughest golf courses in the United States. Shinnecock goes number one for me.
I like it. I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about it, but it does feel like it's that that classic U.S. Open course. It's always on the rotation, and yep, that's really hard. So I think that's a good pick. All right. This one's going to be kind of a weird. Actually, no, I can save this one. All right. I think I'm getting a blue chip U.S. Open course here. Again, another one I've been to, haven't played, but I think this is the golf mecca of the world. Going Pinehurst number two.
Okay.
The Payne Stewart winning the U.S. Open in the rain is one of the most iconic moments. I will say, I think it kind of sucked when Martin Kaymer won probably 10 years ago. They took the rough out and put in like waste areas that were just like bunkers that everyone hit out of. So that was kind of a bummer. But
2014.
I think 10 years ago, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty on point tonight.
Nice.
But no, I think Pinehurst is just awesome. If you go there, it is the golf mecca of the world. And the Payne Stewart statue out there on the back patio, it's just a good spot. So I'll go Pinehurst number two.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good pick there at number two. As you mentioned, golf mecca. I mean, they have a billion courses out there. And then right up the road, you have Tobacco Road too. That is just a golf haven, heaven. It's fantastic. So yeah, I don't hate that pick on number two there. So for me, I'm going to go Oakmont. Oakmont for my number two pick. Again, that's the Pew Churchill bunkers. It's a kind of like Shinnecock, and just that is a U.S. Open golf course. Like, it is tough, demanding. You got to be on your game. It's hosted the U.S. Open a billion one times. It feels like it's on the rotation as it deserves to be. So I'm going to go Oakmont for my second overall pick.
I like it. All right. Number three, I'm going to do a classic course that I think, unfortunately, might be RIP. I don't know if it hasn't been on the rotation in a while. I think a lot of it is because of the length, but I'm going to go with Marion.
Nice.
And a reason why I like Marion is I think the wicker basket pins are the coolest addition ever made to a golf course. Who needs flags when you can have a wicker basket? But no, I don't know the course that well, if I'm being honest, but I do just think, like a lot of the courses you've said, West Coast, heavy rough, you know, first cut, second cut, thick stuff, big beaver pelt divots. I love all of it, and the wicker baskets. So you can't beat that. Marion at number three.
Yeah, Justin Rose won it last time. It was at Marion, I believe. They really, I found, I think they, yeah, the it's one of those courses that it was kind of a risk going there because of the development technology. Could it still host a U.S. Open? And I think Justin Rose won it like even par or something like that. It stood up to the best players in the world at that time. I think that's also the course where Ben Hogan hit that famous one iron.
Yeah, I think so.
So I agree. I think that's a good pick there. Deserves to be on this list. Man, I mean, there are some great golf courses who have hosted the U.S. Open. For my number three, and I'm feeling pretty good at getting this number three, I'm going to go Pebble Beach. We talked a lot about Pebble Beach early on in this episode with AT&T being this week. But Pebble Beach, you have Tiger Woods breaking the scoring record there. Just an absolute clinic. Gary Woodland won out there, beating Tiger's record. So it's just, it's a fantastic venue. With my two courses at Shinnecock and Oakmont being on the East Coast, I got to go West Coast as well. Pebble Beach, it's classic. So I think it gets the nod at number three for me.
Yep, that was a great third round pick. Maybe a steal, some would say.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Number four, I'm going to go Wingfoot. Again, I don't know. Like, I couldn't honestly tell you a ton of differences between, like, all these classics. Wingfoot, Oakmont, Marion, which is shame on me a little bit. But I think it's just another one of those classic U.S. Opens that I have memories of. Phil blowing the U.S. Open. I think Colin Montgomery blew the U.S. Open there too. So good test of golf, challenging course. And one thing that's super badass about Wingfoot is the men's locker room is, and the reason I know this, there's an Instagram account. I think it's called like Clubhouses, some kind of golf clubhouses Instagram account. It just shows pictures of them. So that's how I know this. But Wingfoot's men's locker room, you know, you have this prestigious, badass course that hosts US Opens. Their lockers are like old school gym lockers. Like
nice
metal with like combination codes to unlock them. And I think that is so unique and so cool. And it makes it very old school as well, which is definitely an aspect that I like in a US Open course.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. I mean, that's also the course where the legend of Kevin Kisner was born. This ain't no hobby, boys. That apparently took place at Wingfoot.
Nice.
Yes, sir. All right. For my number four pick, let's see. I'm going to go again. I feel like I'm kind of getting a steal here, T-Bone. I'm going to go the Black, Bethpage Black at number four. I mean, one of the most just iconic courses, Bethpage State Park. There literally has a sign there that says, like, warning, this golf course is really hard. It is a fantastic trek, a true test of golf. You get that ready for a U.S. Open style. It delivers pretty much every time. And it's going to be the host of the Ryder Cup, actually, in 2026 when the U.S. hopes to get that Ryder Cup back. So I think Bethpage sitting here at number four for me, I got to go with it.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I didn't realize a newer course on the rotation. First was in 2002, second one was 2009 for Bethpage. So it'll be exciting to see the Ryder Cup there.
It also hosted the PGA most recently. That's when Brooks won,
okay.
Right? Yeah, so there's been a major there recently, just not a U.S. Open.
Good call. That didn't seem right. So
okay,
that's a good call. Also, if you want, go back in the archives, shout out Bethpage Black Bros.
That's right. Yeah.
Interview from about, I'm going to say 2 years ago, at least. Probably four years ago. Shout out Bethpage Black Bros. But it is cool. These guys are just like in the area and they get to play this major style course for local rates. We get to do the same for Memorial Park. Not quite as cool, but anyways, give them a follow.
Man, I don't think Bethpage is hosting a U.S. Open, actually, in the near future. I'm looking at future venues, and it is not on the rotation. I'm very surprised to see that, actually. Interesting. Anyway.
All right. I'm going to go with a really weird pick that I'll probably sacrifice my top five list, but
okay.
I think this course is so cool, and I think they hosted a PGA championship recently, but I'm going to go with the Olympic Club.
All right.
No, I'm not. That's not what
false
I meant.
Alarm.
Is that what I meant? Yeah. Yeah, the Olympic Club. I thought it was in San Francisco, is it not? Hold tight, folks.
Daly City, California.
I'm seeing Olympic Club in San Francisco and also Daly City. Anyways,
the Olympic Club is where Weber won. With the guy with the bird man.
Yeah, the bird guy.
Yeah.
Where did did Colin Morikawa win the PGA Championship?
Oh man, that was in San Francisco, TPC Harding Park.
Harding Park, okay. Very similar vibes for both of those courses, and I like the like overcast, kind of foggy, foggy bare trees, almost like you see at Riviera. I think that it has that dynamic there. And I just remember that being a really, really fun, cool tournament to watch. I'm kind of a sucker for the West Coast U.S. Opens. I think we all are with the primetime viewing, getting to see the guys in sweaters from the U.S. Open. I love that whole dynamic. And I think that course is really unique, really cool. Probably not a blue chip in it, and not going to probably allow me to get the dub here tonight, but it's my list. And I'm going to use it when I need it.
Sticking to
Shout
it.
out JG Wentworth.
Sticking to it. Olympic Club. I'm going to write that down. So, yeah, I'm looking again on future venues. It's not on the list of future venues, which is very surprising. You know, I think one course that maybe took its spot, for lack of a better term, is LA Country Club. I mean, they hosted it this last year. It's going to be hosting it again in 2039. I'm not seeing many.
2039? Jeez.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no kidding, right? I'm not seeing many California swings. So, well, there's a few, but we can get into that in a sec. So, all right. So that rounds out your top five. So T-Bone for my top five. I feel like I got some pretty good options here that are still sitting in my lap. But I'm going to go with the Country Club. Brookline Country Club. Most recently by my boy Matt Fitzpatrick won the US Open
cost
out
you
there.
A lot of money.
I should have kept betting on him for every major. I would have won eventually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick won out there. It's a classic golf course. Historic. That's actually where the course where Francis we met won his US Open back in the early 1900s against Harry Vardon and Ted Ray. Go watch the greatest game ever played. That's the venue where Justin Rose had his putt against Jose Maria Olazabal in the 99 Ryder Cup. And Matthew Fitzpatrick shot on 18 from that bunker. It was absolutely electric. I just also love the fact that it's called the Country Club. Like, that is so badass that it's called the Country Club. Historic golf course, Massachusetts. It gets the nod for me at number five.
Good pick.
T-Bone, what are some honorable mentions?
I think, let's see, a kind of a random one that I also think is a very cool course, a cool finishing hole, is Congressional in the DC area. Rory's comeback from the Masters meltdown. They have that like brutal par 3 10th hole, huge gallery, all covering, ton of carry over water, and he hit it to like 2 inches on Sunday. That's a cool like kickoff to the back nine. And then you have that 18th hole that kind of funnels down towards like a creek with the clubhouse up top. I've got really good memories of that course. It looks like it's only been a U.S. Open course once, but I think that's pretty cool. One we're probably going to get shit for, or a few: Medina, Hazeltine, Beltrasol. I think those are all pretty frequent blue chip courses on the U.S. Open rotation, but I don't think I know a ton about those.
Yeah, it feels
I
like
think some to throw out there for sure.
Yeah, you know, there are some obviously courses out there that have hosted major championships. Think of the PGA. That's where Hazeltine has been in the past. It's where they won the Ryder Cup. Inverness, Whistling Straits, too. That's hosted a bunch of PGAs. So it's like the US Open and the USGA has their courses they like to go to. And the PGA of America and the PGA Championship has their courses that they like to go to. So that's why I don't know if I necessarily like view them. They are US Open venues, but they host more PGAs than US Opens. So, yeah, I mean, I would throw in Baltusrol for sure. Probably Hazeltine would make my list. Like another example, Southern Hills in Tulsa just hosted the PGA a couple years ago and JT won. So that's maybe a glaring one that we missed was Oakland Hills and in Michigan. So let's see if there's anything else that deserves to be on this honorable mention.
I think that's about it. There really haven't been a ton of courses.
Yeah.
Chambers Bay, which I think was a nightmare from a US Open standpoint. Everyone hated it, which
yeah.
I'll be playing in August. Stay tuned for that. But no, I think we hit on most of these, and I'm kind of surprised how few of how few of different courses are on this list.
Right. No, I agree. It's yeah, they like I said, they have their go-tos, but there's been like 50 something courses that have hosted a US Open. To put it in perspective, the British Open, which is even older than the United States Open, has hosted 17 total.
That's
And that was
insane.
Back when the British Open was like 9 holes.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have like literally 6 courses on their rotation. At least the USGA will go to a few different ones. But some future locations, Pinehurst is this year, Oakmont, Shinnecock, Pebble, Wingfoot, Marion, Riviera, Oakland Hills, the Country Club, and Los Angeles Country Club again. Pinehurst is on the schedule 5 times, Oakmont 4 times, Pebble 4 times, and then a few on from there. You can go Google it to see future sites. But yeah, T-Bone, I think this is a pretty good list, man. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah,
Maybe
it was a
we
fun
should
one.
do top 5 PGA courses because, like we said, it's a little different and, you know, different vibes almost. That's where we would probably throw in our Hazeltines, Whistling Straits, Bella Reeves, to name a few, Southern Hills.
This could be a good kickoff for our master or our major preview as well. Get
Ooh,
everyone in
I
the
like
mood.
It. Yeah. Next week, we should probably, or whenever we do our recording next, we should probably do our major previews because the Players is coming up here in like 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real excited.
We're due.
So comment below or send us an email. Let us know what you think of our top 5 list of the US Open. What did we miss and who would you put in your top 5? Again, I probably would have put Marion and Wingfoot in my list. T-Bone took them, so they weren't. So what did we miss? Who would you add or who would you subtract from this list? I'm not going to lie, T-Bone, I think Torrey Pines was a bit of a reach as number one, but I get it.
A lot of good memories there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode of the 3 and a Par podcast. T-Bone, is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap up?
No, I it's been a minute since we've done a top 5. It was good to get back on the horse. Thank you for those who have tuned in for this long. And yeah, golf season is about to kick off, people.
We're here. And we just also got to get to daylight savings where we spring for.
Yes.
That's like
Yes.
The official golf is here. Let's go.
100%.
And you'll be a married man by then.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's what they're saying.
Heyo, my man. Well, again, we appreciate you, the listenership, sticking with us. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us those 5 stars. Go support our sponsors down below. You have Drink a Buddy, Chip Golf, the gloves, Chip Golf, CHIPP, chipgolfco.com. T-Bone, sorry, I should have given you this when I saw you the other night. But
no, it's all good.
That wasn't really on theme of the party, though.
No, it wasn't.
No, but I mean, it could have worked. It's got some great designs here, some poker designs,
yeah.
Chip Golf Co. And then the Paisley House. Gotta tell us about the Paisley House.
Yeah, all of your interior design, furniture, outdoor furniture needs, head over to the Paisley House. Tell Joni 3 Under Par sent you.
Absolutely. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Enjoy the People's Open, the WM Open, and enjoy the Super Bowl. TBD if we're recording next week because it is the Monday after the Super Bowl, which should be a national holiday. Nobody should go to work on that day.
I agree.
We'll see.
I agree.
Yes. And so, anyway, thank you again for listening. I'm Scotty T for T-Bone. And remember,
little white ball is life.